Maybe today the sermon's on checkmate.
Mate, I'm glad you remembered it, because I was thinking when you said that, I can't remember what I preached on. That's great. I'm Steve, and my beautiful wife Margie's with us today, which is great. She wasn't able to make it last time, but it's good to be. Can I tell you, in case you don't know, Adult Teen Challenge has been operating in WA now for 36 years, and we have a rehab or a restoration centre down in Esperance, where we have 40 beds, and we have the pleasure of seeing many lives transformed. And Adult Teen Challenge, you guys have been very significant in supporting and praying for us, so we say thank you for that. We've got some exciting opportunities ahead of us. We're about to launch a software that will be utilized not just in rehabs and in residential, but can be used in functional addictions, which we hope to be able to release hopefully into churches. And so here's some material and a case management program that takes us to the next level. So we're just about to launch that. We've got people working on it now. So hopefully by the end of the year, we'll be seeing something that is new in WA. And it's not new in the world, it's been happening in America, but it's new in WA, and I think we'll be the first in Australia to actually have that. So we're pretty excited about that. But can I tell you something? The gospel works. The gospel works. That keeps ringing in my head the more and more I hang out and spend time with young, not so always so young, I'm going to introduce to you a guy that's quite old, but people whose lives have been confused and distorted through addictive behaviors, and you see the gospel works. It's not that hard. It's actually, it works. We complicate it sometimes, but it's quite simple. Tell the stuff, the darkness, the shame, the hurt, the pain that's in your heart, and let the light of God shine in, and you have new life. It's simple. It's not that hard. Can I introduce you? I was going to bring him today, but I couldn't. I want to introduce you to a guy who's given me permission to tell you a little of his story. This is Paul. Now, if you want, you can. I've left some of these outside for you to grab, and that's our new look newsletter that you can take. But Paul's story is very touching because it's normal. It's a normal story. See, Paul's 51 now, but for many years he was caught in alcohol. And do you know that alcohol is still one of our most concerning drugs at the moment? It costs our country $67 billion a year dealing with the drug, alcohol issue in our country. They say 5,000 to 6,000 people per year die in our country because of drug-related illnesses. So we do still have, although alcohol is reduced, it still impacts our society. This guy here, beautiful guy, has a lovely family, but unfortunately got very heavy into alcohol. Alcohol destroyed not just his relationships with his children and his wife and his extended family, it took away his work. It took away his license. He ended up in prison for it. It basically distorted his whole direction of life. Paul came to Adult Teen Challenge and he went through the program. And in his story, he will tell you he went through the program for 8 months, but he said, I was doing it for others. I wasn't doing it for me. And he got to the place where he went, well, I'm out of here. And he left before he'd finished the program. It wasn't long, he went straight back into his drinking habits. And let me tell you, some of these drinking habits, I prayed with a fellow the other day who said, Steve, I was drinking 4 litres of alcohol a day. And do you know why he was doing it? Because he was depressed. Do you know what happens after you drink a lot? You get depressed. It actually just creates a cycle. And so Paul was in that same boat. And he said after he left the program again, his life got messed up. And he said, I woke up one day looking into the eyes of 2 people, strangers. He was laying on the road, a Wanneroo Road up here, and cars
nearly ran over him. He flaked out in the middle of the road. Someone said to him, "You need to get back to Adult Teen Challenge." He said, "This time I went back for me." And now Paul will say to you, and this is the words of Paul. I've written them up there, but let me read them to you. Paul says, in that time now, because now he's working, he's got a, we managed to find him a job. He went into work experience through the program, and now he's working with a small engine mechanic down in Esperance, and he loves it, and he's growing, and he's doing really well. And he says, "The change in me through the grace of the Lord and his Holy Spirit, I found myself in better relationships with him. He has given me hope, and I can now see a future ahead of me." And it's simply because he got to the place where, yes, he stopped the drinking, but then he dealt with the issues. And the issues is where the drinking comes from. And Jesus found him freedom in that. And so I just want to say thank you, because there are many lives like that that are changed because people support Adult Teen Challenge. But I want to take you on a scripture today. I want to take you on a little journey. But before I do that, do you mind if I pray? Father God, I just want to say thank you for this place today. Thank you we can gather here freely. Thank you that even though we've got masks, we can still gather in your presence. And we say, Spirit of God, would you take the word of God? Would you bring it alive? And would you give us the freedom and the abundance of life you desire us to have through your word and through your spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Does anyone recognize this fella here? Well, that's a bad picture. Shane Warne. What's Shane Warne known for? Cricket. And if you're American, you go Google it, because you'll find out what cricket is. But cricket! I love cricket! What was Shane Warne? He died recently, and we had a big funeral for him, and everyone watched him on TV. If you don't know his name by now, you must have your head in a bucket, because he was everywhere, right? Shane Warne was known as the King of Spin. He was also known for a famous bowl that he used to do called the Flipper. Anyone remember the Flipper? Used to just about do a 45-degree angle and sneak through the pads and the bat and get somebody out. But I want to introduce to you today and talk to you today about the greatest of all flippers. Today we're going to talk about Le Flip. Because sometimes in life, we need to flip something. We need to flip a switch. We need to flip our decision-making. We need to flip something to have the fullness of life God wants to give us. So I'm going to start off with this question. What is it that stops people from having the whole abundant life that is available to them? What is it that gets in the way? What mindsets, what decisions, what fears get in the way of everything that somebody could actually have in life? What is it that gets in the way of people actually discovering Jesus? What is it that gets in the way? What is the block? What are those things, the mindsets, the fears, I wonder? But let me throw the question back onto you. Because if I was to say to you, and I would love to worship today, but the question was that we no longer have fear, right? Here's the problem. I still have fears in my life. You know, it's still there. It gets in the way. We say, don't worry, but guess what? I still worry. And sometimes, although we talk about God being so close, if I was really honest with you right now and was to say, if you put a chart between 1 and 10, and 10 is like you're really close to God and you know him and you experience him, and 1 is he's a long way away, I wonder where you would be on that graph. Because the truth of the matter is, there are things that stop us from the fullness that God wants to give us. And so I ask the question, what fears, what mindsets, what worldviews have got in the way that may be stopping me from getting and having every one of those promises that Jesus gives us? That peace that goes beyond my understanding. That love that I know I should have. I love your theme at the moment. It's changing the heart from your heart to God's heart. I love that because that's the story of Saul that I've been reading through. And I see his heart kept changing, but there was always something block in the way. What is it? What's in the way? What needs to flip? Is anyone, I get claustrophobia, right? Really bad. Well, it's probably not as bad as some, but I do get claustrophobia. And we were going to the Barrier Reef, the beautiful Barrier Reef over there on the Gold Coast. And Mark and I decided that we would go scuba diving. Now, we've never done it before, right? But we were going to go scuba diving right down to see the colours of the reef. Problem is that to go scuba diving, you have to go under the pontoon that is close to the Barrier Reef. You're sitting down there, level number one, and they put these big heavy tanks on you. Then they put a mask on your face, and you've got to breathe. And I'm starting to freak out. And I'm sitting there, and then you've got to dive under the pontoon into the dark water. I am really freaking out. I'm going, I can't do this. My brain is going to stop me from actually seeing the most amazing reef in the world. The most amazing experience. And what did I have to do? I had to get everybody away from me and sit by myself for a few minutes and flip my mind. I had to change my mind. I had to think differently. I had to deal with those fears so that I could actually go in the water. And once I was down there, it was amazing. But sometimes there's things in our minds, there's fears, there's concerns, there's mindsets, there's understanding, there's false teachings that get in the way from us actually having the abundant experience God has for us. The boa constrictor is an interesting animal or snake. Some people have them as pets. How do you take a snake for a walk? Come on, here we go. How do you get a snake to do tricks, you know? Beg, sit. You could do roll over. That could work. But people have them as pets. Well, here's what they found. A boa constrictor can grow up to 6 meters long. Generally about 4 to 5, but they can go up to 6 meters long in the wild. But when they're in captivity, they may only grow to 2 meters, sometimes even smaller. And what they found that the boa constrictor will only grow to the size of its environment. It will only grow as big as the box that it's in. And sometimes that's the same with our faith. That's the same with our experience of life. It only grows as big as the box that we put it in. And sometimes we've got God, we've got faith in a box. And our faith can only grow as big as the box allows us. And the way that we can grow bigger is to push those walls over. And so my challenge today is, what are those things that we need to push over so that we can actually experience the fullness that God wants for us to have? What are the things that those that we deal with at Adult Teen Challenge, what are those mindsets that they need to push over so they can overcome not just their addictive behavior, but discover why God put them here on earth? I love this with Paul. Paul, I was down there one day at Adult Teen Challenge. I went into the kitchen, and Paul's in the kitchen. And I said, "G'day, Paul, how you doing?" And he goes, "Oh, Steve, it's so good." I said, "Why?" There's a young guy also there, who's, what would he be? He'd be about 16 and hasn't had a father, has never experienced a father in his life. Paul's saying, "Steve, I've discovered how to be a father to this guy because I couldn't be a father to my own kids." You see, God had pushed a wall over and he discovered that actually he could be a good father. He could be there and give this guy advice. He could walk alongside him as they're weeding the driveway and actually talk into his life. He discovered that he could be a bit of a father figure, which in the past he couldn't be, because God had pushed a wall over about who he was, who he thought he was. And I want to encourage us today, what are those things that God wants to flip over? I want to take you to a scripture, a story. I know we're going to go back a few weeks because we're now on our journey to Pentecost now after the great last weekend. But I want to take us back to not just last weekend, but the weekend before that. You see, it was leading up to the Passover in Scripture, in Matthew we're going to go to. And we find that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, to the synagogue, to worship at the Passover. So everybody from all over, they reckon that Jerusalem moved from 50,000 population to 500 in a matter of weeks. And people are parked up everywhere. They're all camped out on the hills around Jerusalem. And Jesus is going and visiting his mate Lazarus. Now you will remember Lazarus was dead once, right? And Jesus did a miracle and brought him back to life after 4 days. That's what makes him the Messiah. That's another story. So Jesus is there at Lazarus' house. People want to find out, just not only see Lazarus alive, but they want to see the guy that brought him back to life because that means he must be the Messiah. So Jesus is there. Everyone's camped out. They all decide on Palm Sunday, which was 2 weeks ago, that they would celebrate the king coming into the city. So you would have celebrated that. They had the palms down and they took off their jackets and Jesus rode in as a donkey, being a sign of the King of Peace coming into the victory. It's a great celebration. Well, the next day, Jesus goes back into town. He goes back into town. He's already been there, so he knows what's going on. This is no surprise to him. This was intentional. Jesus goes back into town, this time with probably just his disciples. And this part of the story is really important because 4 of the Gospels all record this. That means that all those disciples, this really touched their heart. What happened that day really touched their hearts. Let me drop you into what happens. Jesus turns up at the synagogue and we're going to go to Matthew 21, verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who brought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. There's the big flip. He flipped the tables. Now, some people, as you read that, you might go, oh, and Jesus turned up at the synagogue and he walked in and he said, excuse me, Mr. Dove Seller, I'm just going to tip your table over. Tips it over. Oh, that's okay, Jesus, you're the Son of God. Of course you could do that. And then he goes over to the money changers. Excuse me, I'm just going to tip your table over. And he tips their table. Said, no worries, we'll pick up the mess. It's okay. That isn't what happened. This is what happened, right? Jesus comes into the temple. He was there, he's been going there for years, right? He's 33 years of age, so he's been going there all his life. So he knows what goes on. This is not a surprise. He walks in the temple. He takes a deep breath and he starts to tip the tables over with the doves and the doves are flying everywhere and the person behind the table screaming, what are you doing? You're messing up the place. There's people running everywhere. The guards of the temple are coming to find out what's going on. Jesus goes to the table where all the money is. He tips the money over. There's coins running all over the floor. The people are going, no, what are you, my money? And they're trying to grab their money. There was chaos in the temple. Whoa. And then Jesus takes a deep breath as people are running everywhere. He stands up, the rabbi, the king who came in as the king of peace is now the king of the flipper. He's the stirrer. He's messing up church. And he comes and he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. This was significant. This was prophetic. This was a word. Now, I've heard this sermon and people have gone, ah, that's right. That means that it's okay to get angry because Jesus got angry. Therefore, it's okay to have holy anger. I don't think that's true. I don't think Jesus spat the dummy. I don't think he got really crazy. He was intentional. He was passionate and he was intentional. But he wasn't necessarily angry. Angry to me is that sense of that reactive anger. It wasn't that. He knew what was going on. This was purposeful. This was intentional. Then some people will read it and they go, "Ah, that means that. That's right. We mustn't sell stuff in the church. So no merchandise selling, no merch in the church, right? Because that's not right. We mustn't sell things in the church." I don't think that's the issue either. Sure, you know, that's completely up to different churches, but I don't think that's really what it's about. Ah, that's what it's about. It's about we must pray more. This is a house of prayer. Well, yes, we should. But I don't think that's actually the whole story either. Let me tell you what was going on. You see, people would come to the temple. They've walked for days. They've brought their little lambs for sacrifice. They come into town. All of a sudden, their lamb that's supposed to be without blemish, that's supposed to be pure and perfect, is damaged, broken legs, dirty, not good for a sacrifice. So people see this as an opportunity, especially from the hill country. They came down and they went, "We could make a buck out of this." So they set up some stalls and they sold fresh doves, fresh lambs, fresh sacrifices. We also believe there was a bit of a scam going on, that some of the priests would actually reject them just so that they would have to go and buy new ones and they would get a cut from it. We're not sure about that, but that's some of the reports. We also know that it was Rome, so the Roman currency is different to the temple currency, and so therefore you've got to change your Roman currency and other nations' currencies into temple currency. And of course, there was a cut on that. But it wasn't that, I don't think, is still the problem. See, the problem was there were many that couldn't afford it, and there was many outside. And I think what Jesus is trying to say here is, guys, my house is a house of prayer. Prayer is actually about, it's not a ritual, it's not a rhyme, it's actually relationship. It's about engaging with God. My temple will be a place where people will engage with me. But you have made it into a den of thieves. What were they stealing? Let me tell you what they were stealing. You've got to go into the next verse. Verse 14. It says here, "Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." Do you get that? Then, Jesus has made a mess. Then, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. He made them whole again. He made them complete. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying out in the temple saying, "Hosanna," oh, they did that yesterday, didn't they? "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Haven't you read?" You should have read this, because you guys are supposed to read this all the time. "Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. See what's happened here? Jesus flipped the very tables that were stopping people from coming to him. Jesus flipped the tables that separated people from the temple. Jesus flipped the tables and got them out the way, because he said, those people who are hurting, those people that are broken, those people that need healing, those people that need relationship with me, they can't get to me because the tables are in the way. And I'm going to flip the tables, because now they will come. When he flipped the tables, people came. Here's our challenge, church. Here's our challenge to Steve Hall. Here's our challenge right now in this season that I believe is a prophetic season for the church in the world. Is what tables are stopping people coming to Jesus? What tables are stopping you from having the fullness of Jesus? Because it's going to get messy around here. It's going to get messy in my life. Whenever there's a mess in my life, which has been lots, whenever there's a mess, it's because Jesus is trying to do something. He's trying to flip some tables in my life so I get to know him better. If you're going through a messy patch in your world right now, it's because Jesus is probably tipping some tables over.
so you can get to know him. Because that's what he wants. You know, I think there's a table, and please forgive me, Pastor Stuart, because you may have to fix this up next week. But I think there's a table called the table of church that needs to be flipped. A few years ago, Marg and I went down to Dunsborough. We were asked to do a wedding for a couple. They came to me at Cunnamunda and they said, Steve, we're looking for someone to do a wedding. I said, no problem, I'll do it. As long as I can talk about Jesus, as long as you can say these things, I'll do your wedding. So I went down to Dunsborough, did their wedding. After the wedding, there's mostly unchurched people there. After the wedding, they went and took their photographs, and during the photograph session, they wrote a little card to me and they gave it to me when they came back. And it said, thank you, Steve, for being authentic. I thought, that's okay. Thank you, Steve, for not judging us. Here's the sentence that hit me. We've been hurt by church. Pardon? You see, they went to churches and they said, we can't do your wedding for you because you're not this, 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 and this. And I wonder sometimes if the church, in the things that we've done out of maybe naivety, maybe without knowing it, has actually been a table. Five people that night, God was speaking to me. God, five people that night came to us and said, we've been hurt by church, we don't go anymore. Jesus brought the church into the world to usher people into relationship with himself. And maybe we've got to think about all those that don't know Jesus, because maybe we've set up church in a way that doesn't allow people to come into his presence. Just ask the question, what tables have I put in? What tables in my life have I put in the way that unchurched people won't talk to me anymore because you use all those funny language? We're not perfect like you. You see, one of the other tables that were flipped was not just the concept of church, because church is not a place about just the sacrifice. It's about engaging with God. That's what church is about. I shall build my church, and the gates will not come against it, is what Jesus said. What did Jesus say, I'll build my church on? The revelation of who Jesus Christ was. Peter, who do people say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock I'm going to build my church on. That he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. We need to flip some tables sometimes. If we're going to have the heart, if we're going to see people come into the fullness of God, we might need to flip some tables. Maybe you and I need to flip some tables about what we think church is all about. We need to flip the tables of ourselves. You see, those people didn't think they were good enough. They were broken. They had leprosy. They weren't allowed to go near because they were unclean. Sometimes the vision of who we are, I can't come to God. I know I've had a bad week. I know that I've really had bad thoughts. I know I've done things I shouldn't have done. I know I've got I can't come to God. Jesus said, I want to flip that table. Ask for forgiveness and I'll forgive you. Receive it. Believe in me, he says. And I think sometimes the devil loves to put into our minds that we're not good enough, we're not spiritual, we're not this. And I think we've got to let God come and flip the table and say, you know what, I did that for you on a cross. You are good enough because I took it on for you. If you receive my forgiveness, you can know me. You can know everything that I have for you. Maybe the other table we need to tip over is the table of religion. You see, we were never supposed to be religious. We were supposed to be relational. Religion says you've got to do this, 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 and this to be right before God. Relationship says, no, I love you. I came to earth to dwell amongst you so that I could die on the cross for you so that you would become one relationally with God and myself. That's the truth. That's what sets us free. That's what sets your neighbor free. That's what sets your children free. That relationship. And we need to usher people into relationship, not usher people into church. I think too often we have the gospel. There's the gospel of prosperity that we keep hearing about, and everyone doesn't like that. But I think there's another gospel. It's called the gospel of church. Come to Jesus, come to our church. Come to Jesus, now sign up and become part of. No, come to Jesus, and he is, you are the church. Isn't that our message? And now it's all gathered together every Sunday, and it's gathered together as a body of believers, and it's worshipped together, accepting anybody that comes in, because that's his heart. His heart is that none should perish. His heart is that everybody would get to, would have relationship and oneness. His prayer, Father, in that garden, Father, would they be one as we are one? That's his heart. And maybe we've got to flip some tables. Maybe you've got to flip a table in your own heart so you can have everything that God wants for you. Maybe we've got to flip some tables for others and say, you know what, that table doesn't need to be there. Let's flip it. Let's pray. Father God, I want to say thank you because your heart here today in this room, your heart today in this room, you love it when we gather together in this place and we call it church and we come together and you love that. I know it brings you joy. But Father, may we make sure that we welcome anybody into this gathering because your heart is that they would come to a place of prayerful relationship with you. And Father God, I want to ask, pray right now, Lord, for those in this room here. If you're speaking to people where truly they haven't really felt close to you, they haven't felt those promises that we talk about. They haven't felt that love. They haven't felt that peace. Holy Spirit, would you just speak now and show us what tables need to be turned? What table have I set up between you and me? What's that table of separation that needs to be tipped over? You said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Holy Spirit, may the rest of Jesus fall on each one of us today as we move the furniture out the way so that we can get to you. Amen.
Thank you for delivering the word, Pastor Steve. Shall we just take a moment? Let's just, I just feel that we want to respond to the Lord in this. Let's just close our eyes and just allow the Holy Spirit just to prompt our hearts, just to show us what are the tables that needs to be removed in our lives, what are the things that we have. And I know that it can be confronting. I know that it can also be something that would be very disconcerting, something that we are uncomfortable with. But that's exactly why the Holy Spirit is with us, to empower us, to give us the grace to be able to do that which He wants to do in us and through us. So let us just linger a little bit before we respond to the Lord in the worship song. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for revealing your word to us and giving us your word. We thank you for revealing your truth to us. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that your truth always comes with so much grace and with love. And Lord, you desire, Father, to bring out your abundant life in us and through us. And Lord, we now come before you in humility, Lord, and we present ourselves to you. We ask, oh Lord, that you will just come and do this work in us. Help us, Lord, even as you have shown us which are the tables, which are the things, the stumbling blocks, our mindsets that are within us that needs to be addressed. Lord, we want to lay all of these down before you. We don't know how we're going to do it, Lord, and we do not know, Father, what it would look like even in the days ahead. But Father, even as you prompt us right now, we just want to be obedient and we just want to come before you as a child. And we lay it down at the foot of the cross and we say, Lord, would you just come, take all of those tables away, Father, as we submit and surrender ourselves to you. And come, Holy Spirit, just empower us to live our lives according to the life that you have for us, the life that you have purposed for us. Give us strength, give us boldness, give us courage. Grant us, Lord, even wisdom. Help us to be able to walk with you and to take each step with you. Lord, we recognize that you will take us out of our comfort zones for many of us. But Lord, we know that even as Peter walked on the water, that you were there with him. That even as he stumbled in his faith, he stumbled in his heart, you reached out to him and you held him, you lifted him up, you carried him back in safety to the boat. And so, Lord, we can trust you too then, Lord, to do the same for each of us, for each of our families. So we commit this time to you. We give you all the glory, all the honor and praise due to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.